You're going to love this. Just love it.
No, I bet you say that to all the girls. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM here in L.A., up in Oregon on 91.7 FM KYAQ on the Central Coast and 106.7 FM KSO in Cottage Grove, out in Pennsylvania on 93 FM WLRI in Lancaster, way out in Hawaii on 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui. In Swing State, Ohio on WGRN 94.1 FM in Columbus, and up in Minneapolis, St. Paul on the great AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And of course, coast to coast and around the globe, streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation Radio or Not, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Nashville, Detour Talk in East Tennessee, and blanketing planet Earth 5 days a week on Radio Sputnik. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Desi Doyen, get the state senator standing by.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. State senator, a Republican state senator at that. This should be fun. You'll want to stand by for that momentarily as well. Hi, Desi Doyen.
Hello.
Since we said hello there, you'll be back with another thrilling green news report a little bit later in the program.
Yep.
With some good news for animals.
Indeed.
Indeed. Some for elephants and lions, I think.
Oh, my.
And yes, and some good court news as well for kids. Some bad court news for opponents of fracking. So that is ahead today on the Bradcast. As well, voters are heading to the polls today in Indiana. Oh, boy. Here we go again. The presidential primary in Indiana. Make or break, certainly on the Republican side, where Ted Cruz is trying to stop Donald Trump from being able to reach the 1,237 delegates that Trump would need to clinch the nomination on the first ballot at the Republican convention. We'll see if Ted Cruz has any luck. Right now, the polls say it's Donald Trump all the way. But I don't trust the polls. I trust the voters. I am not a prognosticator, so I could not tell you how this is going to come out. Unlike all the geniuses on cable news, they know exactly how it's going to come out. Also, I can't tell you how it's going to come out on the Democratic side, where Hillary Clinton has a small but consistent lead in the few polls that are coming out of Indiana, about a 4 or 5 point lead over Bernie Sanders. We will be keeping our eyes on that and reporting more on those results and any problems tomorrow. So far, I'm happy to say there are not a lot of problems being reported out of Indiana. That's the good news there. They do use 100% unverifiable touchscreens across much of the state of Indiana. Not all of the state, not all of the counties hates their voters so much that they make them vote on those unverifiable voting systems. Hancock County is one of the counties that allows voters to use paper ballots. Thank you, Hancock County. They, however, had some sort of problem that they are chalking up to data provided by the software vendor that has led to some ballots at one of the voting centers out there, not including county commissioner races, according to Wish TV. We'll see how bad that problem turns out to be. And then I love this. Several other Wish TV reports that several other polling places experienced some, quote, minor issues, according to the Greenfield mayor's office. And then they go on to say that an election board member said the county experienced problems countywide with the voting machines connecting to the system. What does that cryptic reportage mean? I have no idea. Minor issues? They call them minor, and then they say problems countywide with the voting machines connecting to the system? Why are optical scan computer tabulators even connecting to the system? So we'll try to learn more about that between now and our next thrilling episode. And hopefully it is a minor issue, according to the Greenfield mayor's office. We'll find out. They say they're working on the problem. A voter told 24-hour News 8 that people were leaving a poll location because of the issues. It was not immediately clear what those issues were. So there you go. We will figure that out. And maybe, along with the results on tomorrow's broadcast coming out of Indiana as they are reported. Of course, we won't know if they are the actual results. We won't know if that's actually what voters intended to do, at least in much of the state, because they use those 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. Similarly, we talked about the problems last week in Delaware, where they also use 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. And in that case, on election night, there was a report of some 6,000 votes for Bernie Sanders in the first few minutes of reporting on the results that suddenly disappeared, went from 6,000 down to something like 1,000. We got an explanation on the program last week, details from the Delaware state election director. She told us that the problems were related to AP and a clerical error, not related to their voting systems, their result systems. But she conceded that there is no way to know. There is no way to know because they use those 100% unverifiable touchscreen machines in all across the state of Delaware. There's no way to know if the results were right or wrong. These are still a problem all over the country, frankly. A whole bunch of states still use these machines, a whole bunch of key states, crucial states, swing states like Indiana, like Missouri, for example, like Ohio. Missouri has long been a swing state, though in more recent years it has gone to the dark side since I left my old home state. They are now consistently voting Republican in presidential elections, at least the last few. We've discussed a few weeks ago, we discussed the Wisconsin's April 5th presidential primary election and all the problems that were brought about in Wisconsin, thanks in no small part to the Republicans' new photo ID restriction up there in Wisconsin. We talked about the concerns about the long lines, the disenfranchised voters quite a bit. But the Wisconsin presidential primary on April 5th, while that was the only presidential primary, it was not the only important election on that day. There was another election on that day. As we discussed a few weeks ago, my old hometown of St. Louis, Missouri, was holding local primary elections on that same Tuesday that everybody was keeping their eyes on the Wisconsin presidential primary. The local elections in St. Louis were held in both St. Louis County and St. Louis City. They have separate election commissioners, commissions and directors, the county and the city do, but both of them use 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems in general on election day, as well as hand-marked paper ballots that are optically scanned by computer tabulators. And the voters, when they go to vote at the precincts, at least in St. Louis County, they get to choose, would you like to vote on paper or plastic, essentially. Now, we've talked about St. Louis County's practice of having both those direct recording electronic devices, those unverifiable touchscreen systems. They've had those for years. They are easily manipulated. They are simply prone to failures. But at least they have hand-marked paper ballot systems available to voters on election day. With poll workers in St. Louis County, however, often directing people to the touchscreens. Well, they could not do that on April 5th because in those local primary elections in St. Louis on April 5th, only paper ballots were made available for the first time in ages. That is the good news about what happened in Missouri on April 5th. The reason that they gave away only paper ballots was because of the presidential primary that had happened just weeks earlier on March 15th. And the election officials said that that did not allow enough time for the touchscreen DRE systems to be reprogrammed in advance of the local primaries that were held just a few weeks later. So, good news. Paper ballots for everyone on that April 5th election. However, there's a lot of howevers in this story. However, St. Louis County has had problems with their paper ballot systems in the very recent past. As more and more voters realize that hand-marked paper ballots are more reliable or verifiable or overseeable, unlike touchscreen votes, more and more voters in St. Louis are using paper ballots or asking for paper ballots. Good, good for them. But in 2014, not long after the killing of Michael Brown had led to mass protests and large voter turnout in Ferguson, Missouri, which, by the way, is in St. Louis County, polling places back in 2014 ran out of paper ballots. There was such a huge turnout and such a huge number of people wanting to vote on paper. That led to long lines around the county. Sound familiar? We've kind of seen that all year long this cycle in 2016. Back in 2014, an email that I published exclusively at bradblog.com at the time detailed how election integrity advocates had warned St. Louis County's election directors at the time that they were not planning on deploying enough paper ballots for that 2014 election. And sure enough, they ran out. All over the county, it was a disaster. The election director at the time was ultimately sacked after that debacle, and then, as only paper ballots were to be used in the local primary elections on April 5th, guess what? It happened again, even though they knew about the problems they had in 2014. This time, it was even worse. This time, paper ballots ran out in many locations almost immediately, as not enough ballots, and in many cases, simply the wrong ballots, were sent to precincts around the county by the county's bipartisan election directors. Well, that was a disaster on April 5th in Missouri, in St. Louis County specifically. There's been a whole bunch of investigations that have occurred in the weeks since. A Missouri House Task Force investigation just released its report. The fallout from that election has now resulted in a two-week suspension for Eric Fay. He's the Democrat who serves as the lead county election director, and his counterpart, the Republican election director, Gary Furr, has tendered his resignation. So Fay and Furr are being run out after that particular disaster. In addition to the legislative input coming from the Missouri House, the problems that surfaced on April 5th, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, have prompted an investigation by the Election Integrity Unit in the Office of the Secretary of State in Missouri, Jason Kander, a vetting by the St. Louis County Council in early May, a call for an independent investigation into the circumstances by the St. Louis County chapter of the NAACP. But as bad as that sounds, as bad as those problems were, those errors, frankly, those errors were human errors. While they are outrageous, they can ultimately be avoided. What can't be avoided, at least without doing away with the 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems altogether, is what occurred a few weeks earlier during Missouri's March 15th presidential primary. If you remember that one, and you probably don't, it seems like forever ago, but in that election, on both the Democratic and Republican sides, the races were very, very close. On the Republican side, Donald Trump was ultimately declared the winner by just 0.2%, about 1,700 voters. And on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton edged out Bernie Sanders, also by about 0.2%, just about 1,500 votes, at least reportedly. In both cases, there were far more 100% unverifiable votes that were cast on touchscreen voting systems in St. Louis County than the margin of difference between the two top candidates on either the Democratic or the Republican side. So, given the impossibility of verifying voter intent after an election on a vote that has been cast on a DRE touchscreen voting system, even a complete hand count of votes in that state could never assure that the candidate actually preferred by voters was actually the one who was reported as the winner by the county's election system. There's no way to know. There's no way to know, and we have known this for years, and we keep using these systems anyway. Voting rights advocates, progressives, and some Democrats have called for banning these god-awful machines that are easily hacked and that often fail. Occasionally, they have been joined by a few libertarians and, for my money, not nearly enough Republicans around the country. Attempts to move legislation forward in the U.S. Congress that would ban these machines altogether has failed to move forward. So, for the moment, it's a state-by-state and often local issue, and those bans are happening. Last week, Maryland, for the first time since 2002, actually went to all paper elections, got rid of their touchscreen systems that they had used across the state since 2002. And now I'm very happy to say that a Republican-led effort to ban touchscreen voting systems in my old home state of Missouri and in my old hometown of St. Louis County is now moving forward in the state legislature. We are going to speak with the Republican state senator who is proposing a ban on touchscreens across the entire state of Missouri right after this break. Looking forward to it. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't go away. This is your Bradcast.
Meet me in St. Louis. Meet me at the fair.
Yes, please do.
Don't tell me the lights are shining any place but there.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and from St. Louis, Missouri originally. So I'm always happy to talk about issues and problems in my old home state. Okay, we covered in the last segment the problems with touchscreen voting systems across the county, across the country, and specifically in the state of Missouri. At the same time, talked about the problems with paper ballots in Missouri, at least in St. Louis County, where the election officials there just can't seem to get it right. The good news is the latest election officials who can't seem to get it right when it came to paper ballots in the local April 5th elections in St. Louis County have now largely been sacked. The Democratic county election director, Eric Fay, he's on a two-week suspension while the investigation moves forward. The Republican director, Gary Furr, has tendered his resignation. But the problems with paper ballots in that county, those can be dealt with. Those are human errors by the election officials. We can get rid of those election officials. When it comes to 100% unverifiable touchscreen votes that are still shamefully used in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, as well as in places like Indiana on Tuesday, there's nothing you can do about it. You're just screwed if you have any questions about the results of the elections afterwards. Well, now, finally, Democrats have been, many Democrats around the country, in any event, have been trying to get rid of those touchscreens for years. And now we've got an effort by Republicans in the Missouri State House. That's good news. In 2006, Dr. Bob Onder, a medical doctor and a Republican, was elected to the Missouri State Legislature as a state representative representing Western St. Charles County, which, for those who don't know Missouri, is now very conservative. In 2014, he was elected to represent Missouri's 2nd Senate District, including various parts of St. Charles County in the Show Me State Senate, where he now serves as Assistant Majority Floor Leader. He has now filed a bill that calls, essentially, for the banning of all touchscreen direct recording electronic voting systems in the great state of Missouri. And State Senator Bob Onder joins us now. Senator, welcome to the Bradcast, sir.
Thank you. It's great to be on with you today.
Really appreciate it. All right, tell me what your bill calls for precisely, and then we can discuss some of the details as to why you filed it and what its chances are for moving forward in Missouri.
Yeah, my bill would call for the paper ballot to be the official ballot, the official record of a voter's vote in all elections in the state of Missouri. And as you alluded to in your introduction, only with a paper ballot can we have an auditable, verifiable record of a voter's intent as he or she casts a vote and exercises their most sacred privilege in our democratic republic, which is the right to vote. As one computer scientist who opposes DREs put it, you cannot audit an electron. So although DRE machines sometimes have some sort of a tape,
right.
In St. Louis County, Missouri, just in 2014, we had a very close county executive's race in which the margin was very, very tight, and the loser in that election, or we're not really sure he really lost, would have the Republican Rick Stream would like to have requested a recount, but it turned out those tapes that the DREs were running, many times they jammed, many times they didn't record at all, and even when they did record, they estimated that the time required to unroll all those tapes and figure out the vote in the county executive's race was prohibitive, and it would take months to ever unroll those tapes that they did have a record of.
Wow.
So the bottom line is paper ballots can ensure the integrity of our election process, they can save money, and they can ensure voter confidence in the electoral process.
And just to be clear, when you're talking about paper ballots, you're talking about hand-marked paper ballots, not those tapes
exactly.
that come out of some of those machines. And by the way, UC Santa Barbara found out some years ago out here in California that those paper tapes can also be gamed. So even if you do bother to count those, and no one does, they don't necessarily reflect the will of the voters. So that's a concern
as
well.
Right, that's right. A hacker can, could potentially get in, and you could think you're voting for, John Adams, and you're really voting for Thomas Jefferson. So, while the paper tape indicates you're voting for Mickey Mouse.
Right.
So, and the problem is when you go to do an audit or a recount. All the election authorities can do is rerun the same computer program, the same computer program that gave you the initial result. It would be like hitting twice as you were printing a Microsoft Word document. Of
mm-hmm.
course, it's going to show the same thing the second time around. That's not a recount at all. So we really do need paper ballots to ensure the integrity of our system.
I don't know the current Missouri Secretary of State. I had a number of conversations with the previous one, Democrat Robin Carnahan. She was no fan of the touchscreens either, as I recall. But the St. Louis County Board of Elections seems to like them a lot. Last year, the Republican and Democratic election directors in St. Louis County told the Post-Dispatch that doing away with electronic voting is, quote, not an option. But they do have that option to not use them, as I understand it. Why are they still doing so, to your knowledge, Senator?
Well, that is a very good question. Mr. Fay and Mr. Fuhrer, the one a Democrat, the other a Republican, both came down to Jefferson City to testify against my paper ballot bill,
mm-hmm.
and they really like their DRE machines, their electronic voting machines, a lot, they are obstinately pro-electronic voting machines. And at the end of the hearing, at the end of their testimony, they testified that it was something to the effect of that it was absolutely impossible that there could ever be electoral fraud hacking into one of their DRE machines.
Huh.
And I concluded my testimony by saying I found that extremely disturbing that there would be so much complacency on the part of the two highest election officials in St. Louis County.
Hmm.
And it was only a couple of months later that those two individuals ran the most incompetent election ever in the history of Missouri, in which 60 polling places had deficits in it just ran out of paper ballots.
Mm-hmm.
Some wondered whether they even did it on, I don't know that. But they ran an incredibly for being so arrogant, so sure of themselves when they were testifying against my bill. They ran a phenomenally incompetent election just 2 months later. Many have called for an investigation, and many have called for their firing.
And your phone broke up only for a moment. I think you said that some had feared they had done that on purpose because the ballots had, the polling places had opened and ballots ran out almost immediately because they had sent the wrong number of ballots to a whole bunch of places. You had stated, Senator, that you had feared that would happen in a video that I think I saw a few months ago, that you had feared that they might game that local election with those paper ballots. Is that a fear that you still have?
Yeah, I said is I do not know. I don't know whether. Someone on my side of the issue, some supporters of paper ballots, were concerned that given that Mr. Fuhrer and Mr. Fay were so adamantly opposed to doing away with DRE machines, that they might try to make a political point by doing what happened on the election day in April, just to prove that paper ballots were a bad idea. And I told, you know, my supporters, no, I can't see anyone being so petty and so so reckless with our sacred right to vote that they would do such a thing. What I would say is that the overwhelming majority of elections in the state of Missouri to this day are held on paper, and they're held competently, but the key word is competently. And the election that Mr. Fay, Mr. Fuhrer held in April was not held competently. There were some polling places with hundreds and hundreds of registered voters that received five. Yeah, that's the number of fingers on your hand, five ballots at the beginning of the day. So people were disenfranchised because they showed up to the polling place and they did not have the number of ballots they needed to conduct the election.
What has been the response, Senator, from your fellow Republicans and fellow Democrats, as well as have you discussed the issue with the current Secretary of State, Jason Kander, who is a Democrat as well? This seems like an issue that crosses party lines. Often in strange ways. What type of response are you getting from Republicans, Democrats, and from the Secretary of State?
I would say, no, unfortunately, Secretary of State Jason Kander is a big fan of electronic voting machines. Ugh. In fact, not only does he seemed to oppose my bill, there is a fiscal review process where a fiscal note, an estimate of a cost of a bill is prepared, and Mr. Kander gave highly misleading information to the fiscal review board, such that essentially he estimated the cost of my bill to be the cost of replacing every DRE machine in the state to a tune of tens of millions of dollars, which is the exact opposite of what my bill would do. So Jason Kander is an enemy of paper ballots and is an enemy of open and transparent elections and seems to be a big fan of electronic voting with all the problems associated with it.
Incredible. Now, I know that this bill is also being considered in the House. And you've been working with the folks from Missourians for Honest Elections. They've been on this for years, I should say, session after session, trying to get this passed. I'm told by them, by Missourians for Honest Elections, that this bill is now held up in the House following that bad local election on paper ballots. Do you have any information about what's going on in the House with this bill?
The bill was moving pretty slowly even before that. You know, I think it's really one of these issues that until something dramatic happens, That, you know, because I think it's sort of like oxygen. You take honest, fair, efficient elections for granted until you don't have them. And I think this issue of election transparency is going to be a bigger one next session, and we're getting very late. We're down to only 9 days left in our legislative session, so I don't see my bill getting across the finish line this session, but I think with this increased focus on the elections in St. Louis County this year, I think I am more optimistic for next year than I have been.
I've got just a minute or two left with State Senator Bob Onder, Republican of Missouri. Senator, what happens? Is there any way that people can help? Is there any way that listeners out here can help your efforts in the State Senate, whether they're Democratic or Republican? We need transparent elections. Anything people can do to help?
Well, I think it's always good to talk to your own representative and senator, and the easiest way to do that is to go to the House or Senate website, house.mo.gov or senate.mo.gov. You put in your address, and it will pop up the email address and phone number of your legislators, and just call them or email them or write them a letter, whichever you prefer, letting them know that you support transparent elections and a paper ballot, the requirement of paper ballots to ensure honest, fair, and accountable elections.
Is there anyone?
I think we
have a big national and even international audience. Is there anyone in particular that should be targeted with these emails, whether it's the Secretary of State or somebody specific in the House or Senate you'd recommend?
I think the specific person is one's own specific representative. Oh, I see what you mean by that. Yeah, I think elections chairman of the House and the elections chairman of the Senate would be a good person to target in either case.
Okay.
Of the Missouri House and the Missouri Senate. And also the House and Senate leadership is always good, and all of those are easy to find on the House and Senate website. Again, it's house.mo.gov and senate.mo.gov.
Very good. Yeah, because in fact, what happens in Missouri does affect the entire country, to be frank. And while you say, you know, until something dramatic happens, people don't tend to take action. That's what I'm worried about. I don't want to wait until something dramatic happens, because by then it's too late.
That's right. And I think something dramatic did happen in Missouri on election day in April.
Yep.
And I think the focus, ought to be how should we be conducting elections? And, I'm afraid that the election directors in St. Louis were they're having so much fun playing with their electronic machines that they're not attending to issues like getting the right number of ballots to polling places.
That is remarkable. All right, Senator, before I let you go, while I think you and I agree 100% on the touchscreens, I don't know if we'll agree here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about it. The push for photo ID voting restrictions has been a perennial annual battle now in the Missouri legislature. It was found unconstitutional some years ago in Missouri. So as I understand it now, Republicans are pushing a measure to change the state constitution to require this, and I don't even know where you fall on it. I'm going to guess you are supporting photo ID voting restrictions. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but is there any known, what is your position on that, and is there any known examples in the state of Missouri of cases of voter fraud that you know of that could have been deterred by a photo ID restriction?
Yes, I think there are. You know, when I was in medical school, I had a professor who hated the abbreviation WNL. You know, that WNL stand for within normal limits, and he always said WNL stands for we never looked. My fear is that without any kind of way of determining that the person presenting themselves to the polling place is the person they say they are, we're not looking for this particular variety of voter fraud. There was an abandoned building in St. Louis City, out of which allegedly there out of which 27 people voted. So it's important to do voter ID the right way. It's important to provide free ID for those who don't have one already. The constitutional amendment that Senator Krause would be proposing wouldn't require voter ID. It would just enable it. There was some language in the Constitution that didn't prohibit voter ID, but the Missouri Supreme Court interpreted as prohibiting it. It referred to a fundamental right to vote, and that just needed to be clarified so as not to prohibit voter ID.
Well, the experts on this, the election integrity experts who have looked at this, they all seem to say that we are going to disenfranchise far more legal voters than possibly stop fraudulent voters. And so I guess my question is, how do you square your advocacy for transparent and fair elections when it comes to the voting machines with the possibility that you could be disenfranchising tens of thousands with a photo ID restriction?
Well, that has been utterly untrue. The allegation is always that you're going to be disenfranchising or suppressing turnout among minority or elderly voters, and it turns out in the data show that in states that have enacted voter ID laws, in fact, minority voter turnout and participation rates actually have increased. And why would that be? Well, I think in part because of these drives to provide the ID that are required constitutionally by the federal court system. So no, I don't at all accept the premise that photo ID to ensure the integrity of our electoral process in any way reduces participation or in any way disenfranchises voters.
Well, fair enough. We're going to have to agree to disagree, and I'll be happy to help your legislative aid there, Janae, with some information, because, in fact, the General Accounting Office has found that, in fact, photo ID restrictions did decrease turnout in states like Kansas, right next to you there, down in Tennessee. And I know those numbers that people have cited for voter turnout going up, that was during the Barack Obama election. They did not go up as much in the photo ID states as the other ones, and I'll be happy to help you with that. In the meantime, I suspect we'll disagree on that, but I'm happy to join you in your effort at least to get rid of the touchscreens. I will take what I can get when it comes to election integrity, Senator. And
I think voter ID and paper ballots both ensure election integrity, but we'll have to agree to disagree on the former. So I appreciate the time.
Happily, and I appreciate your time with us today. State Senator Bob Onder of the Missouri's 2nd District, thank you for the fight, sir, and keep it up. We'll be in touch in the days ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I know exactly what he's talking about and who he's talking about. Those figures come from this guy named Hans von Spakovsky, a longtime anti-voter advocate, unfortunately, and a proponent of photo ID restrictions. And they've been, running around saying that, turnout went up after, for example, the state of Georgia instituted their photo ID restriction. In 2008, there was huge turnout by black voters during the presidential race that Barack Obama was leading the ticket. Of course, there was turnout, huge increase. But when you compare it with other states, other similar states, they find that's not the case. And, And the argument even about numbers that I hear so often that, it's fewer than, opponents of photo ID thought. Fewer people were turned away. How many is okay? Are we okay to turn away one 90-year-old veteran, 10 nuns? How many is okay to take away a right like that? I just don't get it. I don't get how on one hand he can call for open, fair, transparent elections when it comes to voting machines. but doesn't seem that concerned about people having access to the polls. If they can't get an ID, oh well.
Yeah, it does seem to be a bit contradictory because when on the one hand he talks about the sacred right to vote, and yet on the other hand he's concerned because somebody told him that there might be an issue with somebody maybe who wasn't supposed to vote, even though there is no evidence of it anywhere. And that study that he's referring to, correlation does not equal causation. You can't say, oh, they're trying to make it sound like, oh, this voter ID restriction increased minority representation.
And so in most cases, like that, when they talk about these some house where an address where people didn't actually live, if that turns out to be true, normally it's those cases are used for absentee ballot fraud, not in-person fraud. And we have found this in case after case where these laws have been challenged in the courts and the states, from Pennsylvania to Texas to North Carolina to Wisconsin. The Republicans who support those bills simply can't show any evidence of fraud that could have been deterred by a photo ID restriction. But anyway, okay, so half a glass, I will take it. Yes, indeed, politics makes strange bedfellows. You work together with people when you can. So happy to work with Senator Bob Onder, at least to get rid of these godforsaken touchscreen voting machines and not wait until something dramatic happens. I would argue also that it already has happened. All right, a quick break and a few more points on this and the Green News Report with Desi Doyen to make everything better somehow. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is your Bradcast. Stay tuned. Back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with you here. Our Green News Report with Desi Doyen coming up momentarily. Stand by, Ms. Doyen.
Standing by.
Very good. Just a couple more points on this photo ID business. Once again, I'm delighted to work with Republican State Senator Bob Onder on getting rid of the touchscreen voting systems, and I will be happy to supply him with information if he needs it concerning these photo ID restrictions. But if you have any question, any doubt in your mind that Republicans don't want people to vote, specific people to vote, Democratic-leaning people to vote, and Democrats want everyone to vote, if you have any doubt in your mind, a couple of stories here. One, this was just late last week, I believe. Governor Scott Walker signed a bill that hinders Milwaukee's efforts up in Wisconsin to provide local photo IDs to the homeless, immigrants who are in the country illegally, and others who have difficulty obtaining state IDs. So if you live in Milwaukee and you've had trouble jumping through the hoops to get one of these so-called free IDs that they're offering now in the state of Wisconsin, if you know how to get them, if you have the money to afford the documents, the birth certificate, the passport, and are able to somehow collect those, bring them to a DMV and get a photo ID and tell them that it's supposed to be free. If you don't know how to do all of that, or if you have trouble doing all of that, you can try to get a Milwaukee ID from the town of Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee. At least that was the idea. At least that was the plan. So homeless people who might go into, get a local Milwaukee ID. Well, Governor Scott Walker signed that bill that essentially keeps the town of Milwaukee from being able to do that. The Republican-backed bill that passed the State House up in Wisconsin prohibits towns and counties from spending any money on or issuing photo IDs. It also prohibits you using city or village IDs to vote or obtain public benefits like food stamps. So this is the kind of effort that, they'll claim that, oh, everybody needs to have an ID. You need to have an ID to do everything every day. And then here comes Milwaukee in this effort to try to fill the gap that the state is not filling in getting people these photo IDs. So the state comes in and says, nope, those are no good. You can only use the IDs that we say you can use to vote, not those Milwaukee IDs. Obviously, this is an effort, to keep people from voting. I don't understand what people don't get about this. Thousands of protesters, according to AP, packed the state capitol back in February to protest this bill and another failed proposal that would have banned so-called sanctuary cities. Critics call the ID bill anti-immigrant and said it's aimed at Milwaukee city and county plans to issue local IDs to assist with everyday tasks like opening bank accounts or obtaining prescriptions. The bill supporters say it will reduce confusion and fraud. The only confusion and fraud here is the one being carried out by these Republicans. And the same thing is going on in Kansas. We've talked about this many times. We have a bit of a new story here, including Kansas and the Secretary of State out there, Kris Kobach. This right-winger, he was involved with Arizona's paper please law, and he's come in and put these draconian voter registration requirements in place in the state of Kansas, including photo ID restrictions, as well as proof of citizenship in Kansas. And there's a big fight about this because it's not clear that it's completely legal what he's done. So now we've got essentially two separate voting systems in the state of Kansas. You've got these people who have registered to vote using the federal voter registration form, but who have not supplied the proof of citizenship that the state of Kansas is now requiring. So you've got these people in this suspended state, where they're both registered and not registered, where they can vote maybe in federal elections, but they can't vote in state and local elections under this law. It is causing complete havoc in the state of Kansas. And the editorial board at the New York Times pointed that out again yesterday. They said that the damage from this registration law has been particularly alarming during the presidential campaign, in which young adults have been enthusiastic about making their voices heard. Kansans ages 8 to 29 make up more than 58% of the applicants, the voter registration applicants, who are now, quote, in suspense. Now, this comes after more than 22,000 people in Kansas applied to register to vote in a three-week period in February, just days before the state's presidential caucuses. They were excited to take part in the system, and a lot of them were young people. So, and now a lot of those 18 to 29-year-olds make up those applicants who are now in suspense. Who knows if they'll be able to vote in state and local elections in Kansas this November? More than 58% of them are these new young voters. New York Times says this is a situation that should appall any American politician hoping for a fresh generation engaged in democracy. It has become clear, though, says the New York Times, that the goal of voter suppression laws shamelessly championed by Republicans is to hobble the young and minority voters who tend to favor the Democratic Party. The registration law in Kansas requiring proof of citizenship took effect in 2013 as the Republican lawmakers there voiced familiar but widely debunked warnings of rampant voter fraud. The issue has been driven by the Kansas Secretary of State, Kris Kobach, a conservative firebrand who pushed the legislature last year to give him authority to prosecute voter fraud. He is the only Secretary of State, by the way, in the country who has the ability to prosecute voter fraud himself. Normally, they send it to the state attorney or so forth. Kris Kobach had talked about more than 100 potential cases of voter fraud that he was now going to be prosecuting. But so far, he has secured just one conviction in 9 months. And that conviction was for somebody who voted in two different states. Had nothing to do with citizenship. It had nothing to do with photo ID restrictions. A photo ID would not have kept this person from voting in two different states. This person, by the way, thought they were allowed to vote in two different states since they weren't for the same election.
So it was a mistake.
Yeah. This is the kind of fraud that actually goes on, not the kind that Republicans are pretending. As the New York Times says, this affair has demonstrated the minuscule threat that voter fraud actually presents. They say it's embarrassing for Kansas that such crude political zealotry throttles the rights of tens of thousands of citizens there. The courts had better act to set things right and free, and free aspiring voters from suspense in Kansas in time for the coming elections. Well, good luck to those courts. Because year after year after year, we fight these same battles over these same laws, and it never seems to get better. But the fight continues. Speaking of the fight continues, Desi Doyen, I guess we better get to it.
Yeah.
Our latest Green News Report.
We need leaders who get it.
Ad wars. Clean energy advocates want you to vote. So the fossil fuel industry is attacking them. Big climate victory for kids in court in Washington State. Big conservation victories for lions and elephants. Plus,
you can actually feel the heat of the ivory burn.
Kenya's big bonfire of the ivories to stop illegal trade.
Lighting all of those fires and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Climate change is not science.
Yes, it is, actually, Ted Cruz.
You want a skeptic? I'm right here.
I don't, but thanks for asking. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, some bad news as we get started here for opponents of fracking. Colorado's highest court has overturned 2 city bans on hydraulic fracturing that happened on Monday. The court decided that state law preempts those local laws that were passed by the citizenry in those towns. But apparently state law has precedence, and Republicans no doubt are rejoicing, even though they pretend to like small government. They only like it when the small government agrees with them. And in Colorado, too many Democrats also going along with the fossil fuel industry on fracking.
Yes, apparently Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper agrees with the fossil fuel industry.
Well, there you go. What else do you have for us that might be cheerier today?
Well, this isn't so cheery. The fossil fuel industry and the Republican Party are trying a new tactic in their campaign to stop climate action. Politico reports that America Rising, the Republican Party's opposition research organization, is using its super PAC, America Rising Squared, to attack individuals like 350.org founder Bill McKibben with a new negative ad campaign.
Everything else can wait. Violence can wait. Poverty can wait.
We're going to put a dollar tax on gasoline tomorrow.
Climate change is directly related to the growth of terrorism.
Their first negative ad campaign goes after billionaire clean energy advocate Tom Steyer, whose super PAC Next Gen Climate Action itself has launched a $1 million campaign to mobilize young voters to vote in November.
I'm Tom Steyer. We need leaders who get it so that we can move away from coal and oil to clean energy. If you want to do something about climate change, you can. Please register and vote.
Perhaps it's a sign that the fossil fuel industry may be getting a little worried that young voters who do care about climate change will come out to vote in November.
I will also add this. Tom Steyer is a billionaire who is putting a lot of money into this effort to fight climate change. But unlike the Koch brothers, Tom Steyer is showing up in his own ad saying, this is me, this is what I believe, and standing behind it. He's not putting a bunch of money into AstroTurf groups pretending to be something other than what they are.
Climate action is also moving forward in the courts. Yet another federal judge in the Pacific Northwest has now sided with children who sued to force the state of Washington to act on climate change. On the heels of a similar court victory in Oregon, this judge in Washington State said that the kids and their sponsor organization, the nonprofit Our Children's Trust, cannot wait. He ruled that the Washington State Department of Ecology must now deliver new regulations to cut emissions by the end of this year.
Can't wait to see how the fossil fuel industry goes after those pesky children.
Big developments in wildlife conservation. In Kenya, in a dramatic bonfire ceremony over the weekend, the Kenyan government set fire to thousands of elephant tusks and rhino horns, destroying an ivory stockpile worth an estimated $200 million on the black market. That's to send a message to save the majestic animals that bring billions of dollars in tourism to the country. Kenya's president said that their elephants are worth more alive than dead, and he warned that poaching has increased in recent years, an elephant is estimated to be killed every 15 minutes, and the species faces extinction within 10 years. But in America, some good news. Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus has ended its captive elephant performances. The elephant's final big top performance ever was on Sunday in Pennsylvania, partly due to pressure from animal welfare groups, but mostly a massive shift in public attitudes. The CEO of Ringling Brothers' parent company, Kenneth Feld, told CBS News that it was time.
It's a bittersweet decision. There's no question about that. But it is the best thing. And we felt this was the right time to do it.
Wow. So no more orca shows at SeaWorld soon, and now no more prancing elephants in the greatest show on Earth, Ringling Brothers.
Yep. And finally, 33 captive circus lions rescued in raids on illegal circuses in Peru and Colombia have now landed safely in Africa on Monday in what is believed to be the largest airlift of lions in history. Nonprofit wildlife group Animal Defenders International raised money from private donations to transport the 33 lions. Most of them have permanent injuries from abuse and will now live out their lives in a new wildlife sanctuary in Africa.
Very good. Now, if we can just keep them away from those tourist trophy hunters from the U.S., we'll be in good shape. Thank you, Des, for much more on that story and all the ones we couldn't get to today. Check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle.
Thank you,
Desi
Doyen.
That's a sweet story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That makes me feel a little bit better today. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our booking goddess, Cynthia Cohn, to my guest, Missouri State Senator Bob Onder, and of course to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. Greatly appreciated. If you missed any portion of today's program, you can download them all at bradblog.com for free anytime. You can also download them from iTunes and many other fine establishments. We hope you'll give us a good review over there at iTunes while you're there. Make it a little easier for everyone else to find us as well. Speaking of finding us, you can find us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at TheBradBlog. Use hashtag Bradcast and drop me email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. All right, we'll be back with you same Brad time, same Brad channel tomorrow. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.